28. Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified. He has spent His 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He has been resurrected. He has been with His disciples. And He is preparing to leave this earth and return to heaven. And He's given some instructions, some admonition, and we want to take a look at some of that this morning for just a few minutes. If you'll look all the way down to verse 19. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we pray now that you would help us, give us liberty, give us wisdom to say plainly and clearly, correctly, properly, those things that concern believers' baptism. And I pray that we would answer any question that might be in the heart of any of the hearers. If they'd understand the reason for, the method of, baptism, and that we'd do it correctly and properly and for the right reason, I pray, my Father, we'd not overemphasize that which you've not overemphasized, that we'd not make essential what you've not made essential, but I pray that we would do that which you have commanded, that we'd do it correctly for the honor and for the glory of our Savior. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we are Baptists. We're independent Baptists. Matter of fact, we're independent, fundamental, premillennial, Bible-believing, King James only, Christ-exalting, sin-hating Baptists. We're a rare breed. We're King James only Baptists. There's a lot of things to be said about the kind of Baptist we are. But if there's anything we believe in, as Baptists, we believe in baptism. And we believe in that because the Bible teaches it and the Bible commands it. Now, a lot of people are a lot more fanatical about baptism than we are. There are a lot of people who are not Baptist who believe that if you're not baptized in water or baptized in water by their church, you're going to die and go to hell. We don't believe that. There are some folks that think the old sin nature is washed away in the waters of baptism. We don't believe that. There are some folks that think if you don't get baptized, you're going to die and go to hell. We don't believe that. There are some folks that make a big deal out of baptism, spend all their time teaching on it, saying that it's not necessary and nobody needs to get baptized anymore. We don't believe that either. There are a lot of teaching, a lot of speculation, a lot of hot air that goes up about baptism. And so this morning, very briefly, I'd like to give you three or four things about baptism, what we believe about it, and why we believe that as a Christian, you ought to submit yourself to it. Now, the passage we just read, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, the Lord Jesus Christ commands baptism. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing. Okay? He said, make converts out of them. Next thing he said was baptize them. And so we believe in baptism. Now, before we teach you what we believe about it, let me share with you some things other folks believe about it that we don't believe. We think they're just nutty as a fruitcake. They may be good folks. They may be well-intentioned. But they have subverted the Word of God and corrupted it to their own destruction. And so, very briefly, I want to mention a couple of things that you ought not to believe about baptism. Number one, false teaching about baptism teaches that water baptism saves. Now, every heretic that ever lived always found him a verse or part of a verse or a phrase out of a verse to hang his false doctrine on. And so, the Church of Christ, what we call Campbellites, or that's because Alexander Campbell started the Church of Christ and the teaching about baptism. those folks believe that unless you are baptized in water by a Church of Christ preacher, you're going to die and go to hell. Now, along the same line, the Roman Catholic Church also believes that unless you're baptized, and in their case that means sprinkled with water in the face, when you're about 3 or 4 days old, you can't get rid of original sin, and if you don't get rid of original sin, you're going to die and go to hell. So in both of those denominations, as well as the Lutheran Church and the Episcopal Church, all believe that salvation is some way or somehow absolutely essential to going to heaven. If you don't get baptized, you're going to go to hell. Now, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible never implies that. But those folks believe it. You say, well, why do they believe that? They believe that because of Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so they take that verse at face value and they say, you must believe and you must be baptized in order to be saved. Now, what that is that's a perversion of that verse. Matter of fact, that leaves part of that verse out. The whole verse says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. It's not, and he that is not baptized shall be damned. It's he that believeth not shall be damned. So salvation wasn't dependent on water baptism. You make converts out of them, and once they're converted to Christ, once they become a disciple of Christ, once they become a Christian, then they get baptized. And that's the order there in Matthew chapter 28. Go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations. Baptize them. So you make converts out of them first, then you get them baptized. And so Mark 16:16 is a very poor place to go in order to teach water baptism is essential to salvation. Now, if baptism is essential to salvation, then there ought to be at least a couple of places that teach it. But the only place that anybody got is Mark 16:16. And you have to omit half the verse in order to teach baptism as essential if you go there. For example, in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, the Philippian jailer has just witnessed Paul and Silas in prison, and he's under conviction for his sin, and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And so Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized, and thou shalt be saved. Right? No. It doesn't say that. It says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Not a word about baptism. Now, after that fellow got saved, about 2 or 3 verses later, he goes down and he gets baptized. But he didn't get baptized in order to get saved. He got baptized because he was saved. And when Paul tells him how a man gets saved, he doesn't mention baptism at all. You do not have to be baptized in order to go to heaven. Amen? Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, the Bible clearly teaches that baptism is a figure. If you'll take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 for just a minute, and we'll look at the verse and show you that it's only a picture. It has nothing to do with your salvation. 1 Peter chapter 3. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. What is it there that saves? Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, not getting wet. What's the characteristic of the saved person? A good conscience toward God. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. Amen? And so, baptism is a picture. Baptism pictures the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You die and are buried in the water, and then you're raised to newness of life. And that's all baptism is. is a picture of what has already happened in your heart and life. It's a picture of what has already been accomplished by Jesus Christ. And so baptism is not essential for salvation. Now, but you have those people, Episcopalians, Lutherans, Catholics, Church of Christ, that teach that if you're not baptized in water, you're going to die and go to hell. They missed the mark. That is absolutely not so. But a lot of folks get tangled up on it. Matter of fact, if you ask the average person on the street what a person's got to do to be saved, they tell you they got to be a church member, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, get baptized, keep the commandments. And they'll get baptism in it every time. Now, that's a trick of the devil. In Romans chapter 10, when the Bible explains the plan of salvation, baptism is not in it anywhere. If thou shalt believe that Jesus is the Christ and that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Where is baptism? It's not in there. You do not have to get baptized to be saved. You say, well, preacher, I thought you was a Baptist. I am. But I want you to get baptized for the right reason. Amen. I don't want you to ever think that the water out of the city water system or the water out of somebody's well has got anything to do with getting you home to glory. The blood of Jesus Christ is what gets you home to heaven. Now, not only is there false teaching concerning water is essential for salvation, there's another group we call the dry cleaners, Stan Baker, O'Hare, and a whole bunch of others, that teach that baptism doesn't apply today. That it was done away with, and you don't need to get baptized. Which is also wrong. You say, well, why do they teach that? Because of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And so they say, well, God didn't send Paul to baptize. His only job was to preach the gospel. And so baptism's not necessary anymore. Which is just nonsense. Of course baptism is necessary. Who instituted baptism? Jesus Christ or Paul? Jesus Christ. And he said, go ye into all nations, see, and preach the gospel. Teach them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, what is this contradiction that they've made then? Is Jesus is saying get baptized, and they turn and say, well, Paul said don't get baptized, and he's the apostle to the Gentiles, we'll follow Paul. Well, you come off better following Jesus Christ any day. But in the first place, that's not what Paul was saying at all. He didn't say that God didn't tell him not to baptize. He said, that's not what he sent me for. He sent me to preach the gospel. Amen. Now listen, folks, my job is to preach the gospel. But I also have a lot of other things I'm obligated to do, am I not? I not only preach the gospel, I preach on husband and wife relationships, how to raise children. I preach Bible doctrine on the second coming, on the rapture of the church, on the tribulation. See? I do a lot more than just preach the gospel. And Paul did a lot more than just baptize. His primary mission was to preach the gospel. But after we've preached the gospel, what are we supposed to do? Baptize them. How do you know that? Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye into all nations, teaching them. Right? We preach the gospel, we teach them about salvation, and then we do what? When we baptize them. It's a progressive thing. There are steps. It has an order or a system to it. And so all these folks that say, Paul just came to preach the gospel and he's not supposed to baptize, have missed the mark. Let me show you what I'm talking about. In Luke chapter 19, verse 20, you know what the Bible said? It said that Jesus Christ was sent or came to save sinners. What was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming? To save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What was his primary reason for coming? What was the primary message he had to deliver? He came preaching the gospel. He came to get people saved. But you know what he does in Matthew chapter 28, in Luke chapter 3, verse 21? He gets baptized. Now, that's not what he came for. He came to preach the gospel. But in the course of preaching the gospel, he himself was baptized. Now, Paul didn't go just to baptize. He went to preach the gospel, but after that was done, then he baptized. And over in 1 Corinthians, there's 13 verses over there in one chapter that deal with Paul and baptism. Paul baptized people. He didn't baptize a lot, and he named some of the folks he baptized. But Timothy and the other fellows that went with him did the baptizing. See? And so, when it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel," you can't take that thing and misconstrue it to say that God never intended for anybody to get baptized. It's just that that's not the primary thing. Listen, I'd much rather you get saved and go home to glory than I would for you to get baptized and be lost. And there are a lot of folks been baptized and are going straight to hell like a bullet down a gun barrel. They've never received Jesus Christ. They have never been regenerated. And there's a lot of difference between somebody praying a little prayer when they're 8 or 9 years old that never makes a change in their life, and then go and get baptized, and they say, "Well, I'm a Christian." "Why are you a Christian?" "Well, I made this little profession of faith. It never changed my life. It never did anything for me. And besides that, I've been baptized." Well, fun, you can get baptized in Southside Washington Creek and you know every minister by his first name and die and go to hell. Amen. Baptism ain't going to get you home to heaven. Well, preacher, everything you got to say is don't do it. Well, I'm getting all this junk out of the way so I can tell you why you ought to do it and how it ought to be done correctly. Now, the truth is, now I just showed you that water baptism is not essential to salvation. Then the dry cleaners come along and say, "Well, nobody needs to get baptized," and you certainly do, but you don't need to get baptized to go to heaven. Then why do you need to get baptized? Good question. Got a great answer. Because Jesus Christ told you to. That's a good reason. Amen. And if you don't, and He told you to, you are living in disobedience. Now, before we get into that, let me say this. There is a baptism that saves. It just ain't water baptism. I can take you over to my swimming pool this afternoon and put you in all that good chlorinated water and say anything I want to and put you under and raise you up, and that won't do anything for you except get you wet and make you obedient to Jesus Christ. That's the only two things that's going to happen. You're going to get wet from head to foot and you're going to be obedient. Other than that, absolutely nothing is going to take place. But now there was a baptism which you have already received that saved your soul. And that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be bond or free." Every man, woman, boy, and girl that ever got saved, when they got saved, the Holy Spirit put them into Jesus Christ. Baptism is a putting into. It's a covering. It's a submerging. It's an immersion. And so anybody gets baptized by sprinkling missed the boat. There ain't no place in the Bible where sprinkling is baptism. Baptism is always down into the water and coming up out of the water. See? Baptism is being put into something, not by something or sprinkled with something. You've got to be submerged in it. Baptism is immersion. That's why we take you down to the swimming hole or whatever and put you under. We put you into the water. Now, the baptism that saves is Spirit baptism. It's when the Holy Spirit puts you into the body of Christ. This afternoon we're going to take some folks and take them over to the house and get in the pool there. And I'm going to ask them some questions. And when they answer all the questions right, I'm going to say, take them and put my hand up and say, "Now, by the authority invested in me, I baptize thee, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And I'm going to take that person and put them into the water and then raise them back up. And everybody's going to say, "Yeah, glory to God, praise the Lord." Everybody, you know, because they got baptized. Amen. They're supposed to holler and shout when they get baptized. And I'm telling you that right now so you do it when the time comes. And you say, "Well, now, look at here. Who did the baptizing? I did the baptizing. Who got baptized? You did. What'd you get baptized into? You get baptized into the water. Right? Right? I'm going to do the baptizing. You're going to be the baptizee, and the water is what you get baptized in. Alright? Now, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 4, by one Spirit. So who's going to do the baptism in 1 Corinthians 12, 13? The Holy Spirit. And who's going to get baptized? You are. And what are you going to get baptized into? The body of Christ. Now, that baptism, if you ain't had that one, you are on your way to hell.
Right.
See? And the water baptism that we're going to practice this afternoon pictures that baptism that's already taken place that nobody could see.
Right.
See? And so that's all it is a picture or a figure of what has already happened. Now, so we picture it, they say it's an outward manifestation of an inward change. That's how you say it in the books, you know. We're going to show externally what has happened internally. But now there's another reason for baptism. The reason is this. Baptism is the first step in obedience to Jesus Christ after you're saved. A person who is saved by God's grace, who desires to be a follower of Jesus Christ, the first step in following Him is to be submissive to Him in baptism. To be quite honest, I'm very dubious, very doubtful of people who say they're saved but do not want to obey the Lord in the simplest commands. If you cannot submit yourself to Him in the simple things, if you cannot follow Him in His command to be baptized, why in heaven's name would anybody suspect that you'd be willing to follow Him in anything else?
Amen. Amen.
Baptism shows the world that you've trusted Jesus Christ. Baptism is a display to the whole wide world that you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior and that you're willing to put your life in His hands and do what He commands. Baptism, while it does not save, is very important because it gets you off on the right track as far as obeying the commandments of God. The first commandment He gave after your conversion was, get wet. He said, well, I just don't want... I wonder why not? Don't you want to be identified with Jesus Christ? Do you not want to make an open and public profession and confession that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life and that you're willing to follow Him in all things? You're going to tell me that you'll obey Him in everything else, but in this little simple matter of taking a bath in the pond, you can't handle that? I find it very strange. If we're not faithful in the little things, we will not be faithful in the big things. If God cannot trust us in the simplest matters, He cannot trust us in the important matters. Amen. And so, baptism is a test. It's not only a picture, but it's a test of your resolve to obey the commandments of God Almighty. Amen. Now, baptism is to be by immersion. You're supposed to be put into the water and covered up. It's a picture of a burial. Sprinkling does not picture a burial. It may picture a rain shower. It may picture a sunny summer afternoon with a cloud. But it doesn't picture a burial. Immersion shows you being put under the water and buried by, and under the water you're like a dead man. So the Bible teaches that you ought to be baptized by being put under. If you'll take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 8 for a minute. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8.
Verse 37.
And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. Now here's old Philip, has gone down and been preaching to some folks, and this Ethiopian eunuch wants to get saved, or wants to get baptized. And he tells him, he said, all right, if you believe with all your heart, then you can get baptized. So conversion, see, how do you get saved? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then thou shalt be saved. He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So conversion was first. If thou believest, then you can get baptized. And so then, verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that he saw the eunuch no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, this black fella, this Ethiopian eunuch, gets saved. He believes that Jesus is the Christ. And he believes that in his heart. He believes that with all of his heart. And because he does, he wants to get baptized. He wants to obey the Lord, and he wants to be identified with Jesus Christ. And so Philip said, okay, stop the horse, stop the wagon. And they got out. There was a little pool down there. They went down in the water, and he baptized him in the water. Now, somebody said, well, they went down in the water, and Philip picked up some water and sprinkled it on him. I heard a good illustration one time about baptism. There was an evangelist that came through. He was a circuit riding preacher, and he came through this little town about once a year. And he was a good preacher, and this old lady that ran a boarding house liked to hear him preach. And he always stayed at her boarding house, and the reason he stayed there was because she made the best coffee in that part of the country. He just loved this lady's coffee. And so one year he came through and was holding a meeting. She went to the meeting, and this fellow preached on baptism. And in the course of the message, he preached that the word, the Greek word "eis," which is the word for "in" or "into," in the Greek means at or near or by. And so he was saying that you didn't have to get into the water; you could be close to it, say, and just get sprinkled. And so the lady, she's a Baptist, and so at dinner time, he came in after the service, you know, and had a big old dinner. And boy, he couldn't wait till this lady brought him his cup of coffee. And so he's sitting in the drawing room, waiting, you know, after the dinner. And after a little while, here she comes in, and she sets a cup and a saucer down beside his little table there, and she turns and leaves. And he reads the paper a few minutes, and finally, he can't stand anymore. He figures it's cool enough. He reaches over and picks up that cup, and he takes it, and it's just hot water. He said, huh. And he called the lady in. He said, Mrs. So-and-so, he said, you made a terrible mistake here. You brought me hot water instead of coffee. She said, oh, no, sir. She said, that's hot coffee. He said, ma'am, he said, really? He said, it's just hot water. She said, oh, no, sir, it's hot coffee. I made it myself. He said, look at it, lady. It's just hot water. She said, no, sir. If you're correct in your interpretation that in means at or near or by, then that's coffee because I set the coffee can down by the coffee pot and let it brew. You see, it's only coffee if you put it into it. Amen. And baptism is only baptism if you go into the water. Now, not only that, did you ever notice the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, someplace over there, chapter 10, about the children of Israel in the wilderness, that they were baptized. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, the Bible talks about the whole nation of Israel was baptized in the wilderness. And you know where it says they were baptized? It said they were baptized, they were under the cloud and in the sea, and they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, I said, what is the picture? Well, here's the thing. Israel is coming out of the land of Egypt, headed for the promised land, and they're crossing the Red Sea. Now, they've had that pillar of cloud that followed them some 40 years. And, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was in that cloud. But the cloud is made of what? Water. And when the Red Sea parts, it stood up on a heap on either side. And so here you got a wall of water over here and a wall of water over here and the cloud sitting on top of it.
And Israel marches through that thing like they're in a tunnel. You know where they're at? They are under the water. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10 that they were baptized unto Moses in the sea and in the cloud. That's called baptism by aspersion. But it pictures baptism. And they were submerged under the water. Water on both sides and water on top. We teach that when you get baptized, we put you into the water and we put you under it. We submerge you. It's called immersion. Then we raise you up. So the reasons for baptism are obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and identification with other converts. The method of baptism is by immersion in water. Amen? Now, there's another thing about baptism in this verse we're looking at. It said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, here's the order of precedence. Here's how the thing goes. Go to the nations and teach them. Baptize them, and then look in verse 20. And as they teach again, teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded. See, there's a progression. There's a system to it. You go into all the nations and teach them. So we go out into highways and hedges and we teach people about Jesus Christ. We call that preaching the gospel or teaching people about Jesus Christ. The first order of events is to get a man saved by the grace of God. Amen. The next thing that's supposed to happen after they get saved is they get baptized. See that? Teach them, baptize them, and then do what? Then we teach them to observe, to do. To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Let me give you an example. Now, there's a bunch of them, but I'll just give you one. What? Those are one of the things, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Now, Jesus Christ taught the disciples to partake of the Lord's Supper. We take the wafer and we take the cup of grape juice and we partake of that thing. And that's a ritual that Baptist churches participate in, right? Now look at the order of events. Go into all the nations and teach them. Then baptize them. Then teach them to observe all those other things. Now if I understand that right, if you're a scriptural New Testament Christian, you'd get saved. Then you get baptized, and then you can partake of the Lord's Supper. See, I teach, and when we have the Lord's Supper in the church, I teach, if you have not been baptized since you got saved, you don't take it. Why? Because it's teach them, that is, make converts out of them, baptize them, then teach them to observe those things. And so if you've not been baptized, you're not to partake. Amen. Now, I know a lot of churches where folks get saved today and they go in tomorrow and they're having the Lord's Supper and they let them take it. We don't do that. You're not in right position to partake of the Lord's Supper until after you've been baptized. If we had the Lord's Supper here tonight and you missed baptism today, you leave the cup alone. Why? You're not supposed to observe those things until after. One, you become a Christian. Two, until after you've been baptized. Amen? I don't like it. Well, I'm sorry. You can like it or lump it. You know, I didn't write the Bible. God wrote the book. All I do is preach it and teach it. Now, I've been places, you know, and they make a big deal out of having the Lord's Supper. I mean, they have it every other week and all this, that, and the other, and I don't like that. About once a year is enough. Amen. I think if you have it too often, you ruin the significance of it, and it becomes kind of trite and cheap, and I think that's an abomination. Matter of fact, over in 1 Corinthians 11, where he's talking about the Lord's Supper, it says some people take it not discerning the Lord's body, and for this cause many sleep, and many are sick, weak and sickly, and many sleep. There's a lot of folks died because of that. Taking the Lord's Supper, serious business. Amen. And I think if you're going to get everything right like you're supposed to, now, baptism not going to get you to heaven, We don't believe that. We don't teach that. But we do believe that baptism is an important ritual in the church. We do believe that the Lord commanded it and that you and I ought to practice it. And we do believe that it proceeds doing some other things. Amen? I can't imagine somebody wanting to be a deacon and not having been baptized yet. See? Why? Those are some things that we're to teach them after they get saved. Those are some things that they learn after they've been baptized. There's a scriptural order in how we're to do things. You get saved, teach them. We get baptized, and then we teach them to do all things or observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Does everybody understand that? Now, I'm not going to spend much more time on baptism. It's a very simple thing. You either understand it or you don't. It has nothing to do with where you're going when you die.
Amen.
But just because it has nothing to do with your salvation does not mean that it's not important.
Amen.
It does not mean that it's something you can fluff off.
Right.
Because as long as you resist or refuse to be baptized, you are living in open, knowing disobedience to the commandment of Jesus Christ. You are living in a life of rebellion. Say, well, like, I'm sorry. Argue with God about it. God said, teach them and then baptize them and then teach them to observe all these other things. But baptism came first. Now, if God commanded it, you ought to practice it.
Amen.
If God commanded it, you ought to obey it. Amen? So, this afternoon, as soon as we dismiss here in about 5 minutes, we're going to ride out in the country and have a baptismal service. Now, all you folks who are saved by God's grace and have a Bible reason why you know you're a Christian, if you have not been scripturally baptized, then you ought to get yourself down there and submit yourself and obey the Lord and take that first step and get started off on the right foot. Amen? All right. Let's bow our heads. Now, Father, we thank you for your mercy.